Once upon a time, there were six strangers. Strangers who, despite the best efforts of the coronavirus, got together for a virtual game of D&D. That game turned into another game, which turned into yet another game, which turned into a campaign. By then, the strangers, who had started to become friends, said, "Hey, since we're playing and need the notes anyways, why don't we record it and release it as a podcast?" This is the story of the players and the characters in that campaign. This is the story of Gold and Glory, Blood Tide Rising. Okay, welcome to our D&D podcast. It's hard to believe, but it's actually been a whole year since we began the podcast, and to us that's just crazy, but clearly time flies when you're having fun. So whether you're new, or you've been with us since the beginning, here's our spiel. We're not voice actors, we're not even actors, we're just a bunch of regular folk who wanted to play D&D during the coronavirus pandemic. Also, this ain't your run-of-the-mill D&D game, it's an Acquisitions Incorporated game, which means it's going to get weird, corporate, and have a bunch of ack-ack in-jokes. Lastly, it's a homebrew game, which means if you're looking for adventures on the Sword Coast or in Tal'Dorei or in Wildemount, you're not going to find them here. But if you're looking for something a little familiar and more than a little different, onwards to Gold and Glory. Now, before we begin, here's a quick character intro, just to help you know who's who.
Hi, I'm Selena, a human divination wizard, and I'm the lore monger.
Hi, I'm Theo. I'm a human twilight cleric, and I'm also the documancer.
I play Kipnis, female drow half-elf. She's a ranger and the obviator.
Hey, I play Edith, a dwarf barbarian, and I'm the decisionist.
Hi, I'm Siona, a half-elf bard, and I'm the secretarian.
I am Turin, a dragonborn paladin, and I am an independent contractor representing the Kingdom of Lemuria.
Homeward bound to Saltmarsh, our fearless franchisees enjoy a brief maritime respite from their travails. But as they consider their downtime options, the G-Team finds that beneath the surface of what appears to be a happy, loyal, and well-functioning crew lies a simmering pot of conflict and tension, some of it directly the result of management's interventions. And enter Bobo the Hobo.
Okay, tell you what. Why don't we get started? So, Bobo, I'm going to say that you experience a time of trial and adjustment, basically an exile from your own homeland, the Kingdom of Planesfar, and you make your way north bit by bit. Traveling through the Dragonspire Mountains, over that pass from the Grey Marches into the Empire itself, into the southern reaches of that sort of area. And you do travel largely sticking to the coastal areas, traveling north, bypassing the river Nerys, and ultimately traveling northwards into what's called the Principality of Marek. And that is a major cosmopolitan port that is associated with the Empire and is probably one of the biggest sort of trade areas other than the Imperial City itself. But again, following sort of the guidance that you were given from Tikalectri, she did counsel that you make your way even further north to Saltmarsh. That's where you eventually find yourself. Now, this is not an instant journey. In fact, it's several years of you kind of making your way from, you know, outside of the Grey Marches, traveling in the wilderness, moving into Marik itself and just getting your bearings there. And, you know, we can say you had certain adventures, and that's probably in that time where you also managed to get, your wings of flight, your boots of, your winged boots, that sort of thing. And basically you leveled up into this, your current state. But at long last, you kind of reach this smaller community that's about maybe 3 or 4 days' sail north of Marek. And it is a small but bustling town called Saltmarsh. And it's certainly not a city. It's more like a town trading port. But you can see that there are the beginnings of growth and expansion. And there is wealth flowing into this community. And you can see that, certainly there's a lot of pickings in this area. So here's a question for you. I mean, you're sort of homeless, not very well established. You've spent about a year and a half in the empire now, so have become a little bit more accustomed to the customs and the laws and things like that. And you've managed to, eke out some sense of survival within Marek. And now you're kind of brought to Saltmarsh. How would you describe the steps that you're taking, now that you're arriving in Saltmarsh, like, what are some of the things that you want to do to kind of get yourself established? Are you keeping up some of your old activities, involving thieving and things like that? Like, just help me understand what you're choosing to do to get settled into the Saltmarsh area.
Well, being the situation that I left, I would assume that I left some sort of, even though it's been years, I would think that I had left with a kind of nest egg, but then through, traveling and through the years, I would pick up odd jobs and different things. In the different areas that I was in, and just enough for my survival.
Mm-hmm.
Anything extra, I would kind of secretly, in different ways, kind of help out as I watch the communities around me, kind of help here and there with that. So I travel through doing that, basically living off the land or... if that was sparse, then kind of, like I said, taking little things here and there job-wise, not necessarily thieving.
Yep.
Yet. If I saw injustices, if I saw something going on, I would kind of get myself involved kind of in the shadows.
Okay. I think that's fair enough. How much of your nest egg do you think is left?
We said I have been gone now, traveling about how long?
About a year and a half to 2 years.
Year and a half, 2 years. I had originally set myself up that I would have about a 5 year. Given that I've also, like I said, worked at little jobs and did things around, made some money, even though I've given some away as well, I would say I have about half.
Okay. Yeah, and I mean, it's at this moment in time, and not that you're really, that materialistic. I mean, but at the end of the day, money facilitates survival and living and all these type of things. And you kind of reach into your pouch and you realize, boy, you're kind of past the halfway point. And if things don't pick up, or you don't maybe get a little bit more ambitious with what you're doing, you don't know how much longer this is going to last, right? And it's sort of, you've managed to kind of reach this area, but what do you really have to show for it at the end of the day? Yes, you've helped out people, and bit by bit you've made a couple of contacts, and people are certainly grateful, but for the most part, not that trusting of a tabaxi, right? You're still a bit of an outsider in this area, although, you know, there are members of the various kind of beast clans. I mean, so there are Tauren, there are lizard men. But again, they're the minority. I mean, for the most part, these are humanoid communities, dwarves, elves, half-elves, humans in particular. And one of the things you actually notice coming in, you don't see, in fact, there's really not a lot of gnomes. And you've kind of noticed this, like, there's, like, normally, there's always at least one or two, you know, whether they're drinking or tinkering or something like that. But you certainly notice, and there just aren't any in Saltmarsh, at least wherever you're going. So with all that happening and kind of seeing your luck kind of turn a little bit south, what are your thoughts now that you are in this new community? And in fact, I'm going to say this. Even though you may not be really criminal-minded, per se, you have lived that lifestyle for a little bit, like you said, kind of working jobs. And one of the things that you've actually managed to kind of suss out, and you find yourself in, you know, one of the areas of town which is off of the main kind of boardwalk area. It's a little bit south. It's over the bridge. It's not the nicest area of town, but, you know, it's relatively inexpensive. And, you know, if you need to kind of stay there, you think you can afford it without really draining your resources. Whereas stuff that's northwards of the river and the bridge and the edge of the harbor, a lot of that stuff is really built up. And it's actually very tourist trappy. So it's very expensive. And they've got these fancy restaurants and coffee houses and stuff like that. But that isn't the case over here. But you do get the sense that, you know, there are some smuggling operations going on. It's sort of like a little bit of the seedy underbelly. And, you know, there are connections and people in this area who, you know, may be operating not exactly above the law. So what are your next steps? What do you do?
Currently, I'm in Tavern, right?
Yep. It's called the Empty Nest.
And so I'd like to maybe grab a seat and kind of, you know, order something to drink and kind of blend in there for a minute, just for a short period of time, kind of look to hear, you know, look to see what's going on, kind of scope out the area that I'm sitting in right now to see who's talking about what kind of thing, see if I can overhear any kind of, you know, because that's the kind of place where people would come, I'm assuming, and you know, talk about certain business dealings and whatnot, and see if anything at the moment would come up.
All right, sure. Give me a perception or investigation roll. Where did Bobo go?
Investigation roll?
Yes, please.
And that's a 14 plus 9.
Ooh. So even as you kind of, you know, kind of sit, you notice that there at a nearby table, also kind of closer to the bar, are these several characters, right? So, you know, there is a little bit unsavory looking human individual, kind of whispers and is flirting with the barmaid as she kind of goes past. And you also see, and you actually kind of pick this up, right? They're like seated at different tables, but there's something about how they are watching each other, making contact. And in fact, you recognize very readily you know, some thieves' cant type of thing. And instantly you can tell that these three have sort of kind of made a connection and that they're definitely kind of watching you, even though they are not seeming like they are right now. Like they're trying to just do their average business and just kind of drink at the bar. They're just talking with people, but you can tell that they're actually watching you actively. What do you do?
So waitress come over.
Oh, hello. Hi, love. Can I get you anything? I love your pelt. If I can say so, it's absolutely charming. And I haven't seen that quite a pattern. Is it like kind of like a tabby?
Thank you for noticing.
Oh, it's lovely. It just reminds me a little bit of my house cat. But anyways, what will it be, love?
See this, are they gentlemen? I'm sorry, are they all gentlemen?
Yes, they are actually all male. Although, it's kind of hard to tell with the half-orc. It has these kind of like long dreads and, you know, they're very bulked out. You never know. Okay. Could be female.
Right. So I asked the barmaid to send over a round of whatever they're drinking to them.
Okay, cool. All right, so they seem to get it. And you want me to tell them that it's from you, I'm assuming?
Yes.
All right. Well, that certainly gets their notice. And in fact, all three of them, as you know, you've basically made them out, they kind of wander over to the table. And they actually kind of pull up. Now, I would say the orc and the human kind of stays standing. And a little bit oddly, the little halfling is the one who kind of pulls up the chair. He kind of sticks his, you know, little frame onto it. And he just kind of lays back, supremely confident. Oh, thank you for the drinks. You didn't have to do anything like that, but you know, to your health.
So what I do at that point is I don't say much. I motion with my paw that there's a, in the Thieves Guild, I'm assuming there's a secret sort of hand signal, handshake sort of thing that is universal.
Yep.
And so I hand gesture.
Okay.
Seeing if they would recognize that gesture as a attempt to connect with them.
Okay. So you can see the nonverbal equivalent of nods that are coming from all three of them. And then the halfling, he kind of puts his big hairy feet up on the table and he just rests them there. And you see he signs something at you and it's almost like asking a question. And it feels like, you know, it's kind of like, what's the password? What's the secret sign?
Right. And so I sign to him regarding that. And as I do that, I also pass them each a gold out of my pouch.
Okay. What do you sign back specifically? What do you actually say? And I, you know, it's not verbal, it's in thieves' cant. But what is your actual response when, you know, he's asking you for this verification?
I sign back all for one for all as the thieves.
So the halfling bursts into laughter. And with his foot, he catches the gold coin that you pass over to him, uses his, you know, big toe to flip it up in the air, and he kind of catches it with his other hand. He's like, it's not bad. I give you points for creativity. You're new here in town, aren't you?
What's your name?
They call me Bobo.
Oh, all right. Ain't your kind usually got names like saying what they do? Like, you know, sleeps in gutter, drinks rotten milk, sharpens claws?
Bobo the Hobo.
The Hobo. Okay, yeah. Interesting. So, let me ask you a question. Clearly, you're educated in the cant, and it's a bit of a universal language, but that doesn't mean we're all part of the same team. And clearly, you're not marked and knowledgeable in our little particular chapter. So let me ask you a question, friend. You know, there's no such thing as an independent operator in Saltmarsh. You understand that, right? Why are all my characters Scottish?
I don't know.
They just end up being Scottish.
Just all your short people.
That's true! Because
that threw me off.
I can see that you're sort of new to the area. And of course, you know, we've been watching your progress with curiosity. And, you know, clearly you've got some skills. But I just want to make it understood that you know that if you're going to be poaching in this territory, well, this isn't your territory. And as a cat, I would think you would understand territory very well.
My goal is not territorial gain, but peace for those who live in the areas of which I pass through or decide to rest my head.
Okay, that sounds very noble and educated-like, but listen... This is Saltmarsh. And in fact, this is the empty nest. So you happen to be in my territory. And it's not like you kind of made your mark or you came knocking. Now, you did give me this lovely here gold. So I'm willing to sort of look the other way and enjoy your naivete. But I am telling you right out, we've got our eye on you. We know where you're going to bed down for the night, Kitty. And so, just guess we've got a bit of a dilemma here. Because here you are, wandering in from God knows where, trying to make your mark on the world, talking a good game about the people, and keeping them all at peace. But you know what? I don't give a rat's arse about that kind of thing. I just want to make sure that the coin flows, if you know what I mean.
Well, all I can say is it would be beneficial for you to befriend a chap like myself. If coin is your ultimate goal.
I see. And you're sure what that means? Like friendship? Are we really using that term? Because I'm more about business associate. But, you know, I can be your friend.
Friends do business together as well, don't they?
Now you're starting to talk my language, Kitty. All right. Well, let's just see. You want to set up shop here in Saltmarsh? Do your own little thing? A, we get a cut. You know how it works. the hand pays the other hand. It eventually gets passed on up. And of course, I need to pay my boss, you know, his cut as well. So then we're just going to throw a little bit more into that pot. But I'm just wondering, you might actually be in a perfect position. Because you're an outsider, and you're not necessarily tied into, well, let's say, my compatriots, you're sort of neutral in this. What do you know of a little band called Gold and Glory? Ever heard of them?
Gold and Glory, you say?
Don't make me repeat myself, Kitty.
That's an interesting bunch, to say the least.
Oh, so you know of them. Pray tell.
You might have heard a thing or two.
All right, start with one thing. What have you heard?
Heard that they're a group.
Jelena! Another round! And the dwarf from behind the bar says, all right, aye. And then she comes up with, bustles over with more tankards. All right, I'm listening. As they say, I'm all ears.
I heard they work together.
Well, everybody knows that. They're a franchise, after all. But now, tell me
franchise sometimes, you know. Sometimes they seem to want to work together, but each has their own interests.
Look, Kitty.
But I hear they're a tight-knit bunch.
Okay, all I hear coming out of your trap are a bunch of words. Okay? If you really want to be my friend, give me something worth hearing. Give me the dirt. What do you know about Golden Glory?
Bobo throws his feet up on the table, kicks back with a stein in his hand, and says, well, have you got a moment?
The orc comes over to your table and basically kind of leans over, in your face, kind of intimidating type of thing. And it's definitely moved into your personal space. And it, her, she, them, whatever, kind of say,
the feet on a table. That's for the boss. You're a guest here. Show some respect.
And I keep my feet on the table. And I just stare down the orc.
Okay, the human and the bartender, she's like, getting out of here. And the human also steps kind of forward. And, you know, they're definitely taking a more aggressive posture right now. Do you continue?
No.
And, like, they're kind of, you can see their hands moving to their belt area, kind of behind cloaks and stuff like that. And it's definitely ramping up in sort of the aggressive nature. What do you do?
And I put my hand over my shoulder towards my back. My crossbow attached to it. So, are you looking to conduct some business, or are we here to play a game?
And then the halfling basically laughs heartily. Boys, you can back off. This one has got some cojones. All right, Kitty, you proved your mettle. You're not just some wandering in. All right, I tell you what. We're interested in getting some information on this Golden Glory. And we understand that they are sort of operating out of this area. So what say you if we make a little arrangement? You can operate in this area, and in exchange, we take our 10%, adding an additional percentage for the hand, and you get to know Golden Glory, and get us information about who they are, what they are doing, and what they are planning next. Because it seems to me that they're making some pretty big changes in Saltmarsh, and we want to know where it's all going, because right now, it's looking kind of, let's say, creating certain opportunities, if you get what I mean. What say you?
So what else is in it for me?
Well,
seems like it's benefiting you guys quite a bit.
Well, I don't think you're understanding. You're an independent, and you want to operate inside of Saltmarsh without joining our organization. So what we're saying is we're letting you have a free rein. You can be an independent operator. We're not going to interfere with your business. We're just going to take our cut. And we will look the other way for whatever you want to do. And in exchange, we're not bothering you. Unless, and here's the other proposition, you want to join our little camaraderie. Because that's another conversation altogether. And he rolls up his sleeve. And, you know, even though it's kind of short and, you know, and muscly, you can see that there's like a kind of writhing tattoo that kind of curls around. And you also see similar, but not quite as ornate tattoos on the human bandit as well as the orc. So, what'll it be? Or, of course, you could just leave town and never come back. That's your third option.
Your terms of scoping out this Golden Glory team sounds like it could be a little bit of fun for me. So, yeah, I think I'll take you up on that offer.
Good. That's the spirit. All right. Well, then. Jolina! Oh, what's your favorite drink? Is it like a milk-based product?
They would call it butterbeer.
Jolina, we got any butterbeer? And she says, yeah, go get it. And they slide over like a nice big stein. All right then, Bobo the hobo.
So, wait a minute here, sir.
Aye.
I do this scoping out. What is my guarantee here of your end of the bargain?
I don't...
How can solidify this deal?
I'm afraid I don't understand. Like, you're trying to negotiate more terms? I just said we would leave you alone, allow you to operate as an independent, right? If we keep to our word... As we will, because I'm a man of honor. You'll be left alone. Unless you want to negotiate something more formal. But first, why don't we just start with this, right? It's a test. It's one of those interview situations where we're feeling each other out to see if we're a good fit for each other. Sort of first date kind of thing.
Then.
All right. Well, that's a deal then. Well,
all right.
Don't contact us. We'll contact you.
That sounds wonderful.
Have a nice night, Kitty. All right. We return to the Sea Ghost. Okay, it is the morning. And sorry, I'm just going to switch the boards here.
So first thing in the morning, Theo had, you know, has done this commune, got his three hands.
Yep.
And I think we've already agreed, you know, kind of come to consensus that we kind of eat breakfast together, get our water breathing potion, like water breathing ritual done. tenor pitter, right?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so at the very beginning of breakfast, Serena's gonna grace me with some answers. Selena, Sokola did not get through your protection. Lemuria, we always knew they're gonna, you know, have some difficulties, but I think we've armed them well with some good. Siona, I think Timely's in trouble. He apparently does not have his own faculty. that for sure needs to be like our number one.
I'm so glad you said that.
There, as I said, Serena's graced me with this communication. I feel honor bound to the agreement that I made with you, and I will fight this way with you till we free this Timely fellow.
Hail Serene!
So you guys are waking, you're having some of these conversations, and, you know, you're kind of, you know, starting to make your way down into some of the, you know, the common areas where you can kind of eat and stuff like that. However, despite, you know, meals being served and stuff like that, there's actually quite a bit of noise kind of going on, and you can see that there is a lot of, the crew seem kind of up in arms or disturbed about something. And you can see, particularly in sort of like, you know, the back ends of the decks in the ship, there is a group of lizard men, your kind of security, that seem to be like, you know, huddled together in a corner. And like, you can hear some shouting and some yelling and stuff like that. It certainly isn't characteristic of the usual crew, that you kind of orderly and stuff like that. In fact, Theo, you see James for a second kind of peek his eyes out from, you know, behind a table over there. And he seems to kind of be, you know, starting to walk in the one direction. But then he sees some of you, and then he quickly does like almost a U-turn and, you know, tries to start walking off the other way and, you know, is just moving in the opposite direction.
James, where are you going, my man?
James actually seems to pretend like he didn't hear that. His paces pick up even further, and he kind of disappears into like the front area of the deck, and is kind of left to this area of the ship.
Theo, this seems rather odd. A disturbance amongst the crew, but more in particular, this was always Kitness's domain. We talk about the lizard men. They used to really listen to her. I wonder if maybe, I don't know, perhaps they miss her?
We all miss her.
Yes, well, I can, encourage them that our contract still stands and everything, but I think they're going to need something more.
All of a sudden, the lizard men, they kind of basically get up from their table areas, you know, and you can see one of them used to have this kind of like t-shirt cloak area with the whole security staff on it. And it basically, he kind of takes the shirt off and throws it angrily on the ground and kind of stomps on it and begins walking away.
Good sir, is that really necessary? Well, the rest of you then, I assure you, like, whatever it is that has got you feeling upset, we will absolutely take care of it. At first, could we just have a word? Could you just tell us what's wrong?
Why are we talking when you guys are not even planning to make a stop at Lemuria? Like, we've got families. And you know, you've heard it. There's all sorts of blood-tied whatever menace out there. And we don't even get to go back and to go home. How can we keep the ghosts safe when we don't even know about our families?
And then there's this big hubbub and murmur, like, and all the lizard men are basically, yeah, yeah, like, nodding their head. And, like, there's this whole kind of, you know, joint reaction kind of going. Now, you can see that not everyone within the crew are lizard men, of course. Like, there's the Warforged, and they're just kind of, like, looking around. And, like, you can see, like, one of them. In fact, you see, like, TH30, and he is like, he's carrying this little book, like a little scribe, and he's just like taking notes, like really, really, like, you know, really interestedly in all of this stuff. And now the one thing, and Selena and Theo, you see this too, you don't see Sphere 2 anywhere.
Siona will pull out her lyre, and she'll just randomly improvise a song, and she'll go something like, "Home, oh, how good to be home," and just try
exactly. To pull out. Let's go home. Take us home. Take us home. Take us home. And this, you know, and then.
Okay, so
I told you guys we should go to Lemuria, but you didn't listen.
Easy, that's not helping. Maybe we could arrange a transport.
We're not making you stay on the boat. We have extra boats, and we plan to let anyone who wants to go take any of, like, the very long boats and go to Lemuria. We are not making you stay on the ship.
Or you could serve Lemuria through staying with, because we are allies, after all.
You stay on the ship. Understand that our mission is to gain more allies, to actually muster up an actual fighting force, because quite honestly, Lemuria is not going to be enough.
Take us home! Take us home! Take us home! And like, now they are like, it's becoming like this herd behavior, right? Like, and so like the other Modrons, they're looking around and they're like, oh, this is kind of fun. Let's join on in. And they're like banging on the tables. And then like,
where's Sphere 6?
Sphere 2.
Sphere 2. Where's Sphere 2?
You don't see Sphere 2 anywhere. Not.
James?
Not.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like certainly not in this kind of main common area. You don't.
Where's Canty? I need Canty.
Canty would be on the bridge. Right.
I messaged Canty. Does she have a thing?
She doesn't have an amulet, but yeah, if you have the message spell, you could use that to contact her.
I don't know that I have the message spell because we all use the amulets, right?
Yeah, and I mean you're effectively on the main decks, right? So I mean the bridge is just one level up if you wanted to kind of go there. And in fact, now like all of the crew seem to be taking up this chant. And you do get a sense that, like, some of, like, the Warforged and the Modrons, they're just kind of, you know, doing it because it's, like, a peer pressure thing and it seems, like, interesting. But
I'm getting Canty.
Warforged and demand him to go fetch Canty, Fear 2, and Jane.
Which Warforged specifically? Just one of the ones that's, you know, in with the other group?
Yeah, one was chanting.
I'm already gone. I've already left. I am going myself to get Canty. Something is up. I'm. The crew morale is my responsibility.
Yep.
And something is up, and I cannot risk that a member of the crew is not going to deliver the message. I find everything very strange. I need Canty.
Okay.
And I'm not hesitating. I'm already gone. I'm already, you know, running to find her.
Okay, so you dash up to the bridge area, and in fact,
so then I'm having my Warforged guy. I'm commanding him to go get Spirit.
Okay, understand. Give me a persuasion roll, just a straight persuasion roll, Theo.
At least it's not a zero. At least it's not a negative. It might be a zero.
Okay.
I get advantage on persuasion.
Oh, nice. Nice.
With a zero modifier.
Yep.
Well, good.
17 with advantage.
Oh, nice. Okay, so the Warforge, I mean, they're kind of used to taking orders or whatever, and he actually gives you a little jaunty salute, and he begins walking off in the other direction, and he looks like he kind of disappears from beyond the immediate area of the, you know, casino area, and it's going further north into the front part of the ship. Okay, so Siona, you get to the bridge, and you can see Canty's kind of, you know, at the helm, and she's doing her usual kind of capable job of just, you know, kind of keeping the ship going. But instantly, as she sees you, you can see that, I mean, her ears droop down a little bit, and she looks embarrassed.
And I'll go up and I'll speak to her in Minotaur, and I'll say, Canty, what's going on? Something's up with the crew. I need you to help get the situation under control.
So we started hearing some of the whispers about this, and I don't really know when it started, but it, you know, James was saying that it kind of started around breakfast, and it was with the you know, like the security guards and stuff like that, all the Kinesis people. And then, in fact, you start hearing this chant from, you know, below decks or the area you were, and it was like, where's Kitness? Where's Kitness? And like, you know, it's all kind of intertwined in this big thing. It's like, normally, I haven't been in the habit of doing the discipline. That's always been Sphere 2's domain, and you know how you can crack the whip. But
where is he?
I don't know. I've been... Look, normally James, he's helping out, but...
And speaking of James, he ran off just now.
I know. He's been avoiding me. It's been like he's avoiding his duties or something like that. And, you know, he's been shirking. And, like, we're talking about James. He would never dare do that. But all of a sudden, like, I don't know what's gotten into him all of a sudden. And especially when you guys came back. I haven't heard of him. I've had to send out runners kind of looking for him. And honestly, right now, I'm just too busy trying to keep the ship going.
Katie, I need your help. We've got a crowd out of control down there. And I need something to turn the tide. Something to get them on board, a voice that they'll listen to. Please, I'm coming to you as one of the crew. I'm coming to you for advice. How do we get them to calm down so that at least we can have a conversation?
You have to somehow get them to calm down a little bit, maybe just like approach it from a different perspective. Like, what are they even getting angry about? Like, what are they...
They're mad that Kitness is gone and they want to go to Lemuria. We never even talked about it. They just assumed that we wouldn't let them go.
So maybe this is just all about information or misinformation. Maybe you just have to be upfront with them, help them understand what's going on.
I tried to tell them and they wouldn't listen. They just started, like, chanting.
Aren't you a bard?
I tried to get them to sing, but then they turned it around and then they just went out of control.
Look, you know me. I'm not a harsh disciplinarian. Normally that's Sphere's 2 job, and, you know, we sort of have our own sphere. Are you telling me I need to go there and enforce some harsh discipline? I don't want to, but if I have to, I'll do it.
No, I'm just looking for advice on... I can sing a song or something, but just... I need to say the right words so that it doesn't fuel the fire, but instead changes it. You know what I'm saying?
Find out what their concerns are. Maybe make sure they feel that they're listened to. And I don't know if they've got legitimate grievances. Help them understand how those can be addressed.
I've got it. Thank you, Canty. keep things under control here, please.
Yeah, I will. I'm
Thanks,
so.
Candy.
Bye.
Like Siona's already running back.
Okay, now the rest of you, while all this stuff is happening, clearly, you know, things have kind of escalated in here, right? And there's, you know, this kind of chanting, where's Kitness? And then, you know, one of like one of the lizard men says, yeah, where's Kitness? Where's our leader? Where's our captain? She should be here with us. If she were here, she would side by us, we wouldn't be bypassing Lemuria. Where's Kitness?
If she was here, you wouldn't be given the opportunity for the insubordinate. She would put you down so fast. You are so lucky that we are actually lenient to be the oppression.
You know, I understand that you're like the ship owners and everything, but we were trained by her. She showed us the warrior's way, the way of shadow, the way of the Gloomstalker. You have no right to speak to us in those ways. Where's our captain?
Kitness is not here. She couldn't make it back on the boat.
What do you mean?
I don't even have told you yet.
How could that be? Are you telling me you left her behind?
If we left her behind, then you wouldn't have anyone here. All these people would not be back on this boat. You wouldn't even have us around.
Are you going to allow her sacrifice to be in vain?
That's why we need to go back to Salt Marsh and get people to stop this. Or nothing will get done. And your people, yes, they're strong, but they won't last against what is out there.
Wait. What do you mean her sacrifice? What do you mean, her sacrifice?
For all we know, she's dead.
Not dead. Actually, we don't know if she's not.
Alpha, just so you know, I cast Fly so that I can get back faster.
Okay, cool. All right. So, you kind of zoom into the room, just kind of flying. Now, of course, you know, this is a pretty impressive sight and is not a typical one. So they kind of see you kind of zoom into the room and, you know, all the attention just kind of shifts in your direction.
And I seize the moment.
Yeah.
And I start strumming on the lyre.
Okay.
And I start singing very passionately about Kitness and Lemuria and home and these very powerful needs to have answers as to what's going on. And but don't worry, because I have these answers for you.
All right.
Into that way.
Now, You're just using your performance skills, right?
I'm using my performance skills, but I'm trying to be as dramatic as I can. Like, I wanted their attention, so flying in did that.
Okay.
And then I'm pretty talented in performance, and I'm feeling in really impassioned. And I'm really just, I'm giving it my all. I want them to feel heard, and I want them to feel like we understand what the concerns are about getting back to Lemuria, knowing what happened with Kitness, where do we go from here, you know, information,
okay.
And how do we resolve this?
Make a persuasion roll.
Okay, D&D Beyond Dice, live up to your reputation, be awesome now.
D&D Beyond Dice ever really nice?
I was going to say.
Apparently not, because I only got a 17.
Oh, 17 is, let's say the activity and the immediate sort of antagonism quiets down as they listen to your words. And definitely what it does, it breaks the kind of herd mentality that had taken over the situation. And you can see like the Warforged and the Modrons kind of looking curiously around. TH30 is just scribbling notes like crazy, but you can see there still is anger and defensiveness up with the Lizardmen. So
I would like to use my inspiration.
Okay.
To have another go.
Go for it.
There's no Sphere 2 yet, eh?
Oh my god! These dice! 19.
Okay, still a really positive result. I don't think it kicks it into, you know, the next stratosphere. But again, you've got their attention and you've diffused the situation, but not entirely. So Theo, you see that Warforged scout kind of roll back into the room. And for a second, you actually see this weird kind of interaction between it and TH30, but then Scout kind of makes her way around the other way and she's kind of coming through, but there's no Sphere 2 accompanying.
Where is Sphere 2?
I'm sorry, sir. He says he's busy at the High Roller's table.
Yeah.
All right, Siona.
Correct order?
Well, sir, I advised that, yeah, it was you, but it's kind of complicated. There's a bunch, and they've been kind of gambling at it for a little while, and he's not his usual self, but, you know, he's not bossing us around anymore. He's just kind of, you know, hanging out and having a good time at the High Rollers, you know?
We don't pay him enough to play at the High Rollers table.
Siona.
Yes?
You have the attention of the crowd. How do you take advantage of this moment?
Yes. I would like to seize the moment then to... I've already shown that I understand their concerns. I want to say a couple things. One, we will share information. Two, no one is being held against their will. We will facilitate passage to Lemuria.
Where is Kitness?
Ally. Kitness... Kitness made a personal decision of her own to pursue more information. I cannot share more for fear of endangering her life. It's just know that Kitness has made choices of her own volition in the interest of serving Lemuria and us and the safety of all.
Make a deception roll.
Deception?
Is she over by us with everything?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I would be applauding her, patting her on the back, and giving her guidance.
Okay.
Thank you. That's a D4, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, that will bring me to 22.
Ooh, that's good. Okay, I would say they kind of buy that. So, are we stopping in Lemuria? I mean,
we don't plan to stop in Lemuria, but we are arranging passage to Lemuria. If anyone wants or needs to go to Lemuria, this is easily arranged.
But it's a one-way trip. Right?
It's a one-way trip, but you're welcome to work with us again in future. It will not mar your record. We'd be happy to have any and all of you back. And we can discuss details of how to hook up in future if there's some way that we... If you can find your way to Merrick or Saltmarsh, or, you know, perhaps we just know that you are important to us, and then you're certainly welcome back.
Sorry, can you repeat? You were kind of your voice was colliding.
Yes, of course. Eventually, we'll pass through Lemuria again. I'm just saying that if before then you would like to serve on board the Sea Ghost. There are ways that we can make that happen.
So
you need to stay in touch with us.
One of the smaller kind of lizardmen, not these big hulking ones, but, you know, one of the thinner, almost chameleon like one, colors shift more towards like a bright yellow, indicating kind of distress and anxiety. But why? Isn't Lemuria on the way? Like, why can't we just stop in and say hello to our loved ones and then afterwards we would go? Like, we love working on the Sea Ghost.
It's yeah, I You're aware that there is much afoot in the world. Every second that we delay our return to Saltmarsh, we are out of touch with what's happening there. Our attention is needed in Saltmarsh a month ago already. We cannot spare the time. We simply cannot. We wish it were different. Really, truly, Lemuria is an important, very important ally to us. And that is why we have arranged for passage to Lemuria for anyone who would like to go back here at this point. And we will definitely be keeping in touch and going back and forth between Lemuria and Saltmarsh.
But Mistress Starglimmer...
You're so cute.
You're making us...
He's just a young one.
Well, I'm just small. I'm the same age as everyone. But you're like making us choose between our work and our families.
No. You can still work for us and with us. It's just that the needs of the work right now, and not beyond the work and into the work of the allies, as we are an ally to Lemuria, our attention is needed in Saltmarsh to face that front. We cannot put all of our attention on Lemuria and leave Saltmarsh vacant. We need to be there too.
So then one of the larger lizard men kind of steps forward is saying, so you're saying that all of us lizard men who do your security detail, all of us, we can just get off at the next port and you won't have any trained security on board. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, well, I really wish you wouldn't, because we do count on you quite a bit, and security, you know, that was Kitness' thing, not mine.
Yeah, but like you yourself said, Kitness ain't here. She made a personal decision, which you haven't explained very well to us, why she would do that, why she would even consider it.
You know what? That's enough. I will not have you question me or Kitness's decisions. You know full well that you put us at risk by leaving. If Kitness were here, she would have your head for even saying such words. If you are a true ally to Lemuria, then I imagine you would stay.
Roll persuasion with advantage.
Mr. DM, as Theo counts pennies in his head, how much would a bonus cost him?
That's a 27, unless Theo's clapping me on the back again.
So you definitely have... Now, you don't have direct remuneration coming from, Lemuria or anything like that, but you have enough in store that you would be able to kind of offer, you know, a reasonable bonus, and you could afford it if you wanted to try and sway an opinion, but obviously you have to come forth with that offer.
So how did I do with my persuasion?
2 sacks. And so...
The watching was unfolding.
Okay.
Because he doesn't think he can offer a bonus without the okay of executive.
All right. So, Siona, you've been very persuasive, okay? And in fact, a lot of them seem to kind of guiltily get back to work. And you can see that the crowd is kind of dispersing. The lizard men are still kind of huddled amongst themselves, but, you know, they whisper, and you can see that smaller one that you were kind of talking to, she kind of strides forward, and she actually moves forward to, you know, some of the casino machines and begins polishing them off as if it were in her normal job. What you're not sure of is any specific decisions being made, how many of the crew might actually, kind of get off at Lemuria, how many are going to be willing to, kind of stay behind or, you know, actually go. So if you want to...
Seeing this go down, can I make an insight check to kind of get a gauge of who might stay and who might go?
So the Warforged and the... why don't you roll your insight? Don't you have a really high passive insight to begin with?
Oh yeah, incredibly high passive.
What is it again? It's like 20 or something ridiculous?
I think it's like, I have to check, plus powerful roll with advantage.
Okay, so, yeah, and I'm going to say I think you have high enough insight to be able to kind of tell, right? So there's like no problems with the Modrons, no problems with the Warfords. Those people, they're just kind of doing their jobs. They don't have specific ties. The folks who are newer members of the security crew, and they're kind of newer trainees to Kitness, those are the ones who are actually having difficulty because they haven't had as much working time with, on board the Sea Ghost. Whereas, for example, Tech Talk and some of those people, they are basically, a lot of their concern was tied up with Kitness as opposed to not going to Lemuria. So there's basically a split camp. And, you know, you can see that definitely about half of them are considering basically leaving with the ship. So it would probably reduce your security detail by about half.
I think we should call on Turin to help to diffuse this situation and, you know, help them to understand, like, even he's not going to Lemuria.
Yeah. And even he understands why. So, if we get a moment amongst ourselves, Theo would kind of bring up and says, we could afford a small bonus for all those who stay.
I think we need to be careful about handing out the money. We set this example, and no, I'm just saying, the next thing you know, we've got, like, different factions of the crew at different times demanding more. I think that if we give a bonus, we give a bonus to the whole crew, not just to some of them.
Oh, okay. No, I agree there. That's what I was figuring. I mean, we could call it, you know, like a loyalty bonus, hazard pay bonus.
We I think loyalty has a much nicer ring to it, don't you? You know, serve on our ship and get a bonus for your loyalty, not for the fact that you just put your life in danger.
Okay, well, sure. I mean, this is why you're the PR.
The glad handler.
Throwing out there as an option, we might get a few more to stay. You know.
I think Turin should talk to them as well. But yes, I think we can talk about a bonus and you know, just practically speaking, it's always good to have something to look forward to. Future, you know, we get something in the moment and reach for something in the future. So the bonus should be, you know, can be promised but not payable until some future point. And in order to qualify for it, you must be a current employee. No, that's not to say that we wouldn't send off the people that choose to go back to Lemuria. Like, we don't want to feel like that they're being penalized and missing out on the bonus. We could just give them a smaller token gesture as they depart to encourage them to return on good terms.
Sure. The thing I would like to say is we may have a totally separate and different with Spear 2. I don't know how much he owes, but he's been gambling at the high roller table.
Yes, well...
All right.
Can I get a scout to, like, who would keep the records as to who owes what here, like, in terms of the game?
Oh, well, we are not keeping detailed ledgers at the individual level. But what we are doing, like you have instructed, is to ensure that there is a positive cash flow with regards to the chip content, and that we are ensuring appropriate levels of probability for the slot machines.
I'm wondering, and I put this out to all of you, that perhaps we should be encouraging gambling amongst the crew.
Yeah, I agree.
Perhaps we should actually be discouraging gambling amongst the crew.
Yeah,
I mean, is that not a normal casino rule? I'm just thinking, because you work at the casino, you know how things go down. Don't they have to do that thing where they, like, you know, they're like, oh, I just touched the money. No, I didn't.
There's popcorn on my bed.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
All right, so what decisions are you making with regards to this bonus or not? Are you going to communicate it now, or is this some sort of later decision?
Personally, I think we should communicate it a little bit later. This all this just went down. We don't want to appear desperate. We want to appear thoughtful.
Yep.
And caring.
Okay. So what I would say is.
The situation. This is gone.
Yeah, so the situation appears to have stabilized for sure, and in fact, you're not really seeing any abnormal behavior anymore. It's almost like this was just this temporary thing that just flared out of control, but it's now kind of back to normal, and everyone is sort of going about their normal activity. In fact, now that let me just complete this.
Were you about to say that James has showed up again?
This is the one exception. So James, Sphere 2, are not around. At least in the main mess area, sort of like the main floor, like just not there. I will say, however, now that it's a little bit later in the morning and sort of getting past breakfast, there's all the former slaves. They're like wandering around the ship and they're like, ooh, look at this fancy casino. And they're like, going around and like they're definitely touching stuff. You can see like there is like a halfling or two that, there's like silverware and they're kind of like pocketing it and that type of thing. So you're kind of seeing this like a little bit acquisition activity type of thing. And they're all just kind of, getting around. But they definitely have a grand old time.
I think we need to have some kind of metal detection or heating of metal as the halflings leave the ship. Just saying.
TH30 kind of, saunters up and he is looking all perky and he's got like this kind of like slate that he's been writing a whole bunch of notes into. And he was like, that was a most fascinating interaction. Social skills being woven left and right and differing perspectives and everything. This was amazing. Thank you for letting TH30 observe this most fascinating behavior.
Oh, you are most welcome.
Let's go talk to Sphere 2.
Sphere 2? Who is Sphere 2?
Oh, yeah, he's a character.
All right.
Follow me, and I will go look for Sphere 2 at the High Roller Stable.
Okay. So you...
I would like to find James. I'd like to figure out where he's at.
Okay. So you actually kind of find them in the same area. Gathered around the table, just kind of four, it's like a kind of playing a bunch of cards. And, James is not playing, but he's sitting near to Sphere 2, and he seems to be kind of shuffling back and forth. And you actually see him pass over a drink to Sphere 2. And then there is, an orc. That's kind of playing on the other side. And there's also like another human who's playing as well, another half elf. So basically, kind of a poker table type of thing. And they're all kind of playing cards. All right.
Yeah, damn. With that table.
Okay. And then Sphere 6. Oh, Master Theo.
Sphere 2.
Sphere 2. Master Theo. I didn't see you. Welcome back. Do you want to join us for a hand? I found this great game. It's a three-card stud or something. James, what was it called again? Yeah, can I have another one of those drinks?
James, the total on the drinks are wrong.
And James is like trying to make himself as small as possible. He's moved next to Sphere 6, Sphere 2, and he's just trying, like, he's trying to, like, pretend he's not even there. Like, he clearly can see you guys, right? But he's just like, he's like frozen solid, like deer in headlights completely. Hi, sirs. Master Theo, I trust everything in your chambers is tip-top shape. I tried to keep everything polished as you needed, and, as you instructed, just dealing with the credits and the debits and the accounts receivable and making sure they all go into the folders and stuff. You know?
James, you did such a great job. I just would like to take a look at the ledgers, specifically the accounts receivables. And why don't you just pull me the top 10 clients who owe us? Just that.
Okay, you see his eyes kind of like his pupils just dilate. And you can see him, and although he's trying to hide it, he's like trembling with...
Selena will go with you.
Incredible anxiety, right?
Oh, I'd be happy to go with you, James.
Sure. Are you sure?
I'm positive. I am simply so positive. It's been such a long time since we've caught up.
And he kind of sidles up to you, Siona, and goes, "But I thought you wanted me to stay with Sphere 2 and keep him busy. What am I supposed to do? I don't know how to do any of the things that like Master Theo told me to do. I don't know what accounts receivable is. I don't know what a debit or credit is. I don't know any of that stuff.
It's okay. Just
like seriously, I've been trying to do it for the past couple of days, and I don't know any of that stuff. I don't even know what a general ledger is. He's gonna get fired again. He's gonna kill me.
No, James, not at all. All we need is just a little bit of information. Siona will put her arm around James and just kind of like walk him to the side so that we can have a little bit of privacy. And she'll just try to console him a little bit. Say, there.
I don't.
Siona will put two coins down as the ante for the...
Okay. Yeah, oh!
So she'll steer Theo so Theo can't see him. She doesn't want Theo to be threatening to James right now. And she'll just take James aside and she'll say... So, James, it's okay. You know, I realize that my expectations sometimes are a little bit high, and I'm sometimes under the impression that I have been outdone by Mr. Banks, but I'll work on that. But anyway, more importantly, Sphere 2, I'm keeping an eye.
I did exactly what you told me. Yes, you said keep him busy, keep him distracted so that he's not going to beat up on everybody. I did exactly what you told me to do.
And James, I'm sure you've done fantastic. Can you just tell me what has Sphere 2 been doing?
Well, I introduced him to the gambling tables, and then I tried to get him going into like the high rollers, figuring that, you know, he might appeal to his ego and everything, and he just caught on like wildfire, and ever since, like, past couple of days, he's just been going to the you know...
The cleaners.
No one's, he's really good at it. He's making a lot of money. In fact, he's taking everybody else to the cleaners, and he's just so addicted to this game. And the thing is that, like, he's not even doing his job anymore. And I can't say anything.
So, James, this is good.
Uh-huh.
So what I need you to make sure that you are taking impeccable notes on this behavior. I need a record from the beginning to now. I'd like this as soon as possible.
Wait. You're not going to make me rat on him, are you? I don't want to be a rat.
James, you were doing your job.
I was doing exactly what you told me to do.
Yes. And we may, I'm not going to sugarcoat this, we may have a disciplinary problem with Sphere 2. In fact, I'm pretty sure we do. This activity is, I'm 1,000% certain, goes against gambling practice. He's committing fraud on company time and not doing his work. You said so yourself.
But you told me to keep him busy!
And busy he is in illegal activities, unless you can convince him to put all the money back.
But
could you do that? Could you go get him to lose all that money and give it back to the casino, which I might remind you belongs to Golden Glory, and we pay your paycheck, and
yeah, but
to do that if we have to give out all of our go to, you know, a Modron who is self-obsessed and cheating.
And then you feel him kind of like stumble a little bit, almost like his blood sugar has gone really low. And like you realize all of a sudden, like, I mean, it looks like he hasn't slept in a while, right? Or like his hair is really messy, his clothes are all frumpled up and stuff like that. And his hands are just jittery and really, really nervous. Please, Miss Siona, I can't take this thing with Master Theo anymore. I really don't know what a debit and a credit is, and I don't know how to organize his files. I've been just dusting under stuff, and I put stuff just in any old folder. If he goes in, he's going to see that the accounts receivables are with the accounts payables, and the credits are with the debits, and I don't know anymore!
Okay. James, don't, like, that's okay. That's okay. Everyone has the forte. Doing accounting is not yours, nor is it mine. You know, he just loves the stuff, and I'm sure that he can find a suitable trainee to take that on.
Then why did he make me do it? Why did he put me in charge of it?
We're here right now. You don't need to worry about that. We'll deal with that later. Our problem right now, our bigger problem right now, is Sphere 2. The way through this is to document everything. Document everything. If you happen to have sketches or anything that shows Sphere 2 was doing things, and you can testify that this is the case, because, I mean, Sphere 2, you know, this is not okay. We haven't dealt with this yet, but I just have a feeling that what you know is going to be incredibly important, and it will go a long way to appeasing Mr. Theo as well.
And you're going to get me off of accounting duty?
I will get you off of accounting duty.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Miss Siona. Thank you.
This is solved. You need to do your part to get us out of this as well. And then we will find jobs that are suitable, like sorting my fan mail and perhaps responding to some of the letters.
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. And, he just kind of...
All you have to do is go to our actual accountant on the boat and get these...
Yeah, our accountant does the accounting.
Okay, anyways, so Theo, you've put down, two gold on the, and it's a Sphere 6 is like, there's a man. He's like, you're up in the ante. You know what? I'll take your two. I'll see you, whatever it is. Now, like, you know, I'll double it. Let's raise the stakes, boss. Come on, sit down. Join the game.
I am watching him super carefully with my plus 12 and...
Yeah, come on. Okay, so what's it gonna be? You know, a three card stud.
And I'll like in the corner with James. I'll say, James, what's going on over there? And I'll ask James to pay attention and give me the skivvy on like what's going down.
He's gonna win. He's gonna clean.
James, check the phone.
All right. Okay, so you know, you gotta reveal your cards. You know, do you even know how to play this game? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's roll dice to see how this gambling actually works, because I don't know. Okay, so help me.
I don't care if Theo wins or loses his hand.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm looking to see how Sphere 2 plays, and I want to determine if he's cheating or not.
Okay, your insight is so high. Okay.
But I would be happy to roll.
Yeah, that. Okay, tell you what, roll. Okay, and in fact, I'm going to do a contested thing. Okay, right.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you can see right through him. Like, he's all blustery.
No, badly I see through him. I have a 31.
Okay, so you do get the sense that, like, he is completely outclassed and outthought the other two, right? And, you know, he kind of leads them down the garden path thinking, you know, and he's just, like, milking the money out of them, just kind of thinking, you know, I don't have, like, the really good hand or whatever. And they kind of get in, and he just suckers them into that thing, right? Now, he's not cheating. He's just really good at bluffing and things like that, but not good enough for you to be pulled into that. And so you get the sense that if you wanted to kind of play this out, you can get him to commit more into the pot. And if you wanted to, you would be able to win it. It depends on what message you want to send, basically.
I want to clean him out if I can.
Okay. Okay, so, you know, it goes through this, you know, a little round. And, like, you can see, like, the intense concentration on him. And you actually are pretty impressed with his strategy and his tactics. Like, he's a smart guy, right? And these other people, they're just being taken to the cleaners. But at the end of the day, you pull the surprise move on him. And then he just, like he, you know, makes these weird electronic beeping noises. He's like, what? What do you can't possibly have that combination of cards. That was a boss. That was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. Oh my god, you're like the master. And he like just bows down like, we're not worthy. We're not worthy. Oh my god. Oh my god. How much money do I owe you? That's my whole pot, man. That's just like, you know, 3 months' wages.
TH30.
Yes, it is I, TH30.
The winnings gets into the vault, please.
Oh, absolutely. I will take them to the vault, but I do not know the combination.
Wait, what's the name of our account, our dwarf guy?
It's a she, and it's Stormy.
Stormy. Okay, can you please make sure that all of this gets to Stormy?
I will do so. And he kind of gathers it up, sticks it in, and he kind of trundles off. And, like, Sphere 2 just is now looking really just, man, that was, like, you know, at least 2 days of work in the high roller's table. But you know what? I have to say, this is why you're the big boss. Well done, sir. And he sticks out a hand, like, he puts it out to congratulate you. Sorry, what did you say?
Sphere 2, let's go for a walk. Why don't we go, like, above deck?
You mean go for a roll, right, sir?
Well, for you, it's a roll.
All right, let's go.
And I take him out above deck. And I don't know how much you want to roleplay this, but essentially, I want to make sure I lay down the law, like, employees are not to be gambling. It is against strict code conduct.
Hey, wait a second.
And I know that he has been shirking his duties in order to gamble. And that, I feel, is a fraudulent paycheck.
What? Fraud?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? First, well, you guys...
Well, if you do the job and you don't do the job, what do you think?
Whoa, wait a second. Chief, okay? I don't know if you recall this, but I have a really clear memory. Like, you and Miss, you know, HR Siona dragging me into the room, telling me all this stuff about how I shouldn't be so harsh on people and be, you know, recognizing their feelings and all that kind of stuff. And then, a couple days later, you guys are off on your thing, and James comes by and says, hey, you want to introduce to this game we're playing in the High Rollers? I didn't know any of these rules. No one told me anything about it. And then I was good at it, man. You saw me. We should partner up. That's what we should do. You and I, you know, like, we can pretend to be on the opposite side, but we just clean them all up. What do you say, partner?
That's called cheating.
Well, it's only cheating. It's only cheating if you get caught. But anyways, well, okay, you know what? I admit, I haven't really been, you know, doing my job because, you know, this is a fun game. But if James had not introduced me to the game, then, you know, I would have just kept on doing my thing. So what do you want? You want me to play the game or do you want me to boss people around?
Well, I want you to boss people around. I just don't want you to make them cry over.
Oh, I tell you. Every now and I think I got figured it out. But then the rules of the game just change. Okay, I tell you what. I just, whatever, man. Am I still kind of first mate? Like, I'm not getting demotion or anything? Or you know, whippings? That sort of thing? Is that, like, do I get, like, 10 lashes?
I'm gonna need the candy.
Huh. Okay. All right. I suppose I deserve that. All right.
Who was counting on you, Sphere 2?
Yeah.
right?
Yeah, I know. I know. I just, no one told me about the joys of gambling. Once I got introduced, you know, I got a little addictive person. Anyways, whatever. I suppose I owe some apologies. All right.
Hey, back to work. Go report to Canty now. Stat.
Yes, sir. And he rolls off. And with that, we'll call it a day.
And scene. Okay, that's a wrap. This concludes part A of our episode. We hope you're enjoying the adventures of the G-Team as much as we're enjoying making it all up as we go along. Part B will resume in our release next week. In the meantime, have a great day, stay safe, and don't forget to love each other. See you next time on Gold and Glory.